Okay, so let's begin with a word about Torah in general.
At the beginning of the first session, all students should be now in their first session.
The Mishnah in Avos teaches us hafoch ba v'hafoch ba d'chol laba, that when it comes to Torah, we look to Torah for everything. D'chol laba, everything is there. Now, when it comes to specific policies, and the kind that we were just talking about upstairs, it relate to any matter of political implementation and policy. So the details have to be worked out in concert with practical and pragmatic consideration, in accordance, of course, in this case, with Dina de Malchusa. But the values that should animate our orientation as B'nai Torah to any matter of public discourse have to be, not just maybe, but have to be rooted in the Torah itself. So again, we could disagree about specific policies and tactics and matters of implementation. The question is, in terms of values, how should we look at something? And immigration is certainly no exception to this. The basic values have to be established by the Torah. The Torah in Parshas Mishpatim, actually I just chose one occasion, but it actually comes up twice in Parshas Mishpatim, establishes a very basic principle when it comes to treating the ger. Now, we'll see that ger can have two meanings in halacha. One of them is a ger tzedek, somebody who's converted. The other is what we call a ger toshav. We'll actually spend most of our time talking about ger toshav. I'll come back to that in a few minutes. Is basically somebody who's accepted the sheva mitzvos b'nei noach, and very often Rashi highlights the fact that he's ochel nevelos. When there's non-kosher food, there's a mitzvah to give the nevela to that individual. But with respect to both of these individuals, and maybe even more for the ger toshav than the ger tzedek in this respect, because when we talk about ki gerim hayisem baretz mitzrayim, we didn't convert to Egyptian paganism, thank God. We came close to it. Lakachas lo goy mikarev goy. Traditions about memtes shari tuma come to mind. So the Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim the following. Yoni, why don't you read the first source for us?
The ger lo sena velo tilchot sena senu ki gerim hayisem be'eretz Yisrael.
So again, halachically, the pasuk is understood with respect to ger tzedek, one who converts, but the pshat of the pasuk is clearly talking about a stranger who's in your midst. You shall not oppress him, nor shall you persecute him. So lo sona is typically understood to mean emotional abuse, right? That we shouldn't have onas devarim. Avalosil chatzenu, this can refer to what we call onas mamon, to take advantage of the person in the economic sphere. Why? Kigerim hayisem be'eretz Mitzrayim. Okay? Because you yourself were once strangers. In other words, that our historical experience in Egypt should sensitize us to the plight of those who are at the margins of society, those who are either seeking refuge in our midst, as we sought refuge in Mitzrayim. And by the way, of course, the halacha comes to mind that lo tito'ev mitzri, that we're not allowed to completely reject a mitzri who wants to convert. He has to wait a number of generations. But we can't do that, as Rashi notes, because they were in achsanya b'shas hatzchak. They provided asylum for us, of course, in our time of famine. So the first major value point, again, we're not going to discuss specific policies, but the basic value point is that we suffered in the land of Egypt, and therefore we have a special responsibility to those who are in a position of suffering. Now, we'll talk about countermanding values in just a moment, but that's where we have to begin. And it's got not just the ger, whether it's the ger tzedek or the ger toshev, but the psukim expand from here. Go ahead, Yoni. So the widows and the orphans, and then the Torah speaks in some of the strongest language that we find in all of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. If you will dare to oppress him, right, it could be the Yasom, could be the Almana, could be the Ger, whoever it is, right, God says, I will surely listen to their cries, v'charapi, and I will become enraged. So the penalties for not having proper rachmanas, on the contrary, oppressing those who are the umlalim, to use the Rambam's term, those who are most misfortunate, those who are at the margins of society, could not be formulated, in stronger terms. That v'chara api, it incenses God, and the result will be mida keneged mida, that your spouses and children will turn into almanos and yisomim. So again, Yitzias Mitzrayim creates a kind of a value structure where those who are marginalized in society are deserving of our special attention and respect. The Gemara in Yevamos, not in your source sheet, comes to mind. Shlosha simanim b'um lazo, rachmanim b'ishanim and gomlei chasadim. That's true in general, but there's a special rachmanus, a special gemilos chasadim, which is due to the individuals mentioned, the ger, the yasom, and the almana. Very often, Chazal was used the expression regarding these individuals, shalihein, that Hashem says, these are the ones who are closest to me. Now, as I mentioned before, when it comes to ger, and this presentation, I thought a lot about whether I wanted to focus on Ger Tzedek, that is somebody who joins Jewish society. They actually undergo the process of conversion, of Kabbalah HaMitzvos. Of course, there's Mila, there's Tevila, there's, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, a Karban that's associated with it, as we all went through at Har Sinai, based on Gemara Krisis Daf Tes. But there's also a Kabbalah HaTorah, that you have to accept the entire Torah. And I thought that was one model for, you know, immigration, somebody who joins our society in the full sense of the term. But I actually chose instead to focus on the Ger Toshav, a little bit of a different model. Somebody who lives in our midst, in the land of Israel, when it's a Jewish majority society, when it's a sovereign Jewish society, but doesn't become necessarily a Jew, but he abides by the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach. What are the rules and regulations governing such an individual? And the reason I wanted to focus on the Ger Toshav, right, is that here the Halacha has a model for accepting, and not just accepting and tolerating, but we'll see much more than that. Actually, we have, you know, very profound obligations to that person, somebody who's actually different than you are, but comes to dwell in your society. And I thought that was important in terms of our current moment, where there are clear cultural differences, and yet there are certain obligations that we would have. What would our attitude be towards a Ger Toshav? So Boaz, when you take the Psukim in Parshas Bahar, so here Parshas Bahar establishes some very important parameters that will be critical for us going forward. So when you have a brother, you know, there's a fellow Jew who falls on very hard times financially, so you should strengthen him, right, multiple times before he completely falls, as the Sifra notes. And then the pasuk concludes, Ger v'toshav achayimach. So it's not just achicha, brother, fellow Jew, but it's ger v'toshav. So the Sifra, the Toras Kohanim, which is here quoted by Rashi, go ahead, Boaz, says, who is a ger and the toshav? So that's a convert, right? Obviously, you have to take care of the ger. They become, you know, an intrinsic member of Klal Yisrael. The only difference is they're entitled to extra halachic protection. So whereas the average Jew is protected by V'havta L'Reicha Kamocha, they're entitled to V'havta L'Reicha Kamocha, but then there's an additional mitzvah d'araisa called V'havta Mesager. The average Jew, there's an issa d'araisa called Onaz Devarim, Lo Sona Isha Samiso, but the ger, if you afflict him verbally or emotionally, you violate two Isirei d'araisa, V'ger Lo Sona, and the same thing when it comes to Onaz Mamon, as you know, illustrated before. So that's ger, v'chazakta bo ger, and then it says toshav. In other words, the ger toshav. Ger v'toshav. Toshav is a reference to the one who's not Jewish. He's ochal nevelos, he doesn't have to keep the laws of kashrus, because the laws of kashrus, with the exception of Eivor min hachai, are of course not part of the mitzvahs b'nei Noach. V'chai imach. And v'chai imach is of course the title of the shir. He shall live with you. Then the next pasuk establishes a contrast, and Boaz, you'll read the pasuk, then tell us what the contrast is. So here, when it comes to the Ger Toshav, the mitzvah is v'chai imach, he should live with you. Okay, now moving on to the next pasuk. So in a very specific sense, you're not allowed to collect interest, okay, neshach v'tarbis, v'yareisa melokecha, and then the Torah reasserts v'chai achicha imach. And part of what we're going to have to talk about is, are there differences in terms of v'chayimach, or the protections that are afforded to the Ger Toshav, who's not a member of Klal Yisrael, and v'chay achicha imach, achicha meaning a member of Klal Yisrael, either naturally born member or a Ger Tzedek. So we're going to keep that in mind as we go forward. Now this pasuk, v'chay achicha imach, is extremely important in terms of establishing a kind of, I wouldn't call it a countervailing value, it's something to bear in mind, even if we started with the overarching value being the sense of rachmanus on marginalized members of society that's created by our own historical experience of suffering in Egypt. So this is part of what was reflected in the discussion upstairs, question of limited resources. So the Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia, Yenis and Take It, this is, of course, something that Chazal thought about as well, and it's actually rooted in the psukim that we just read together. Rabbi Yochanan, hi, v'chei achicha imach my avid. How did he understand this pasuk of v'chei achicha imach? Go ahead, Yenison. So he needed it for a brisa. Okay, so you have a situation where you have very limited resources. This could be on a local scale, on a micro scale, or tzvi, it could be on a national scale where you have limited resources. So here you have individuals who are traversing through the wilderness, and there's only enough water for one of them to survive. One of them possesses, of course, the jug of water. So Ben Ptura's view was they should split it and both die, v'al yira echad v'misaso shel chavero. That it's not good for one of them to be, again, even indirectly, the cause by not sharing the water of his brother's death. Okay? Until Rabbi Akiva came along. Go ahead, Yenison. The pasuk says that even when it comes to a naturally born Jew, and so Kal v'chomer, those that we're trying to integrate into society, who takes precedence?
You.
You, exactly, the one who's in possession of the resources. So if we scale this out from the micro to the macro, anybody have a thought as to what might emerge from this? That a certain amount of resources in society, and certainly, of course, people who come to society can contribute and grow those resources, but who would, you know, based on this, in principle, again, you have to figure out the policies, but who would be entitled to those resources primarily?
Those
who are in possession of those resources. Right, even for no other reason than they are simply in possession of those resources. Okay, so that becomes a very important point. So on the one hand, we certainly have to keep in mind the attitude of Kigerim Hayisem Beretz Mitzrayim, an openness, an affiliation, a concern for those who are most marginal in society. But Meidach, at the very same time, concomitantly, I have to keep in mind that limited resources is a very real factor in life, and even if we hope that people will come to this country and create growth, right, it's not an invalid kind of a concern to raise, which is, what are we going to do if we're not already taking care of people who are here? And that's true in terms of employment and other kinds of social services. So we're not here to, you know, craft a policy, which is, of course, the work of those who are experts in that field, but sort of to generate a halachic ethic. Now, I want to penetrate a little bit deeper, as I said we would, into the sphere of Ger Toshav and what it really represents, and hopefully what we can, you know, derive from it in terms of our responsibilities to those who have joined our society. They haven't joined the Jewish people. They're not converting. It's not Ger Tzedek, but it is Ger Toshav, and hopefully use it as a model for a halachic perspective on treatment of the immigrant. So we'll begin in a somewhat unlikely source. Shimi, go ahead. This is a pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, dealing with, of all things, machalos asuros. Right, so again, an animal that wasn't shechted properly. So could it be a ger tzedek?
No.
Of course not, because he's mechuyev in all the laws of kashrus. So then there's an Isser Basar Bachalav. So this clause here of Kiyam Kadosh Atal Hashem Elokecha could really relate to one of three things, or to two of the three, or to all the three. It could be related to the Isser Basar Bachalav. It could be related to the Isser Nevela. But what's another possibility in terms of Kiyam Kadosh Atal Hashem Elokecha? That might be explaining, if you're an Am Kadosh Hashem Elokecha, if it's not just relating to the Isser Basar Bechalav, and it's not just relating to the Isser Nevela, what might Kiyam Kadosh Atal Hashem Elokecha also be relating to in this pasuk? Shemi? Exactly. The mitzvah, La Ger Asher Bisharecha Tinena V'Achala, it can't be a Jew, but the Ger Toshav, and if you can't eat something, so then you should immediately think first of giving it to the Ger Toshav. Oh, machor l'nachri. Machor l'nachri means that you'll benefit by selling it from the commerce. Nachri here can't mean a ger toshav, right? So it has to be contrasted. So let's take a look at Rashi. La ger asher bisharecha. Who is this? Go ahead, Shimi.
Ger toshav shekabel.
Kibel alav. And obviously he can still eat nevelos, right? Because, of course, you know, he's not mechuyav in Taryag, he's just mechuyav in the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. So the interpretation of this pasuk was subject to machlokas, the Gemara Masech Tepsachim, Gav Chafalaf Mimidbeiz, between Rabbi Yavo and Chizkiah. So there the Gemara says the following. Tanya, this is seventh source, Lo sochlu kol nevelo la gerasher bisharecha titnena v'achala, O machor lenochre. The simple reading of the pasuk is that you have two options. You could sell it to somebody who's not Jewish and is not a ger toshav, or maybe before that, right, lagera asher bisharecha titnena v'achala, to give it without any kind of a sale price attached, just give it gratis, without looking for anything returned, to the ger toshav. So, en li'el lager b'nesina lenochre b'nechira, lager b'mechira minayin, are you allowed to sell it to the ger toshav? Tamid lomar, so the first view, which ends up being the view of Rabbi Meir, is that you're allowed to sell it to the ger toshav. Maybe it's preferable to first give it to him without any remuneration, but you can theoretically ask for money back. Are you allowed to give it away to somebody who's not Jewish, who's not a ger toshav? So Meir says, you are allowed to sell it to the ger toshav, you're allowed to give it away to a nachri who's not a ger toshav. Rabbi Huda Omer, no. Dvarim kichsavan. It's a pasuk exactly the way that it sounds. Namely, that a ger toshav, you must give as opposed to sell. And if you're not going to give it to the ger toshav, right, you can't equate a nachri with a ger toshav. A ger toshav who's been mekabel l'shev mitzvos b'nei Noach, again, even though we just emphasized Avodah Zarah, maybe first amongst equals in that respect. My time with Rabbi Yehuda, what's Rabbi Yehuda's shita based on? So, ikal isal kadaita chederim r'meir, he says, because if you'd hold like r'meir, lichtov rachmana, the pasuk should say, lager asher bisharecha titnena v'achala u'machor. Oh, lamali, oh means as an alternative, meaning you're not going to sell it to the ger toshav. Shema mina l'dvarim kichsavan. Rabbi Meir, so Rabbi Meir will tell you, no. Oh, lahakdim nesina deger l'mechira denachri. So Rabbi Meir says it's preferable, the reason you have oh, is that it's preferable to give it without seeking remuneration to the ger toshav than it is to sell it to the nachri. So Rabbi Yehuda says, that's what you understand from the pasuk? You needed a pasuk to tell you that? Halot tzarech kra, kevan deger, ata mitzuvel hachayoso. The Torah has told you that you're obligated to bring life to the ger toshav. V'nachri ata mitzuvel hachayoso lo tzarech kra svarahu. You don't need a pasuk for that. It's just a svara that, of course, before you would sell it to the nachri and look for some profit motive, of course you would first give it to the ger toshav. So thus, Rabbi Yehuda says, the pasuk tells me something beyond that, that it's aser for me to seek profit from the ger toshav. Now, which pasuk is that? Kate Tzvi, take a look at the Rashi for us. Ger ata mitzuvel achayoso dechsev v'chai imach. Exactly. The pasuk that we started with. So far, in terms of figuring out what the scope of this mitzvah is, v'chai imach, of the ger toshav, we have a makor that says you cannot seek profit from the ger toshav, but that if you can't eat something because it's an avela, so it's aser to you, you should automatically give it to that person. Now, it's interesting to reflect on this for a little bit, because we were talking about before about sort of the, you know, tension between, on the one hand, you know, having ultimate compassion for the ger, the yasin, the almana, based on our own historical experiences of suffering in Egypt, right? And frankly, not just our suffering in Egypt, but suffering throughout our entire history of, you know, being refugees, etc. That's, you know, one pole. And on the other side, you know, we spoke a little bit about, you know, the fact that there are limited resources. So here this seems to be a very interesting middle case where the resources aren't available to you anyway. Again, why in this Gemara is the resource not available to you? The nevela? You couldn't eat it anyway, so if it's already dispensable. So this would not be, if this was the sum total of the mitzvah of achayosa, I wouldn't think it would be saying very much, because it's all only suggesting that when there are resources that you can possibly benefit from anyway, because it's a nevela, so then there's a mitzvah d'oraisa first to give it to the ger toshav before you would seek profit by selling to the nachri. But if there was one rishon who felt that it went far beyond simply what you do with the nevela, it would be the Ramban. So let's take a look at the Ramban on the pasuk of V'chei Achicha Imach. The Ramban felt this was a mitzvah d'oraisa that the Rambam had omitted. Time permitting, we'll get into Shitas HaRambam, but for now, we'll focus on the Shita of the Ramban. David, go ahead. V'chei Achicha Imach. So the Ramban says, right, it's not just in terms of a nevela, a dispensable resource, that you're not going to be able to eat anyway, but he refers to it in terms of, a general mitzvah saseh, l'hachayoso, right, one application of which is the fact that you have to give him the nevela, right, before looking for a profit motive, right, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, that there's an isser to try to seek profit by selling it to him. But the Ramban here uses an interesting expression, mimena nitztavinu al pikuach nefesh b'mitzvah saseh. So that maybe in a broader sense, there's some inyan of pikuach nefesh that applies to the ger toshav. Now, if you wanted to confirm that, all you'd have to do is look at the hasagos of the Ramban on the sefer mitzvahs, the Rambam. So it's just important to remind ourselves, the Rambam codified what he felt were tarig mitzvos. And this came after the Baal Halachos Gedolos codified what he thought were the Tariq Mitzvos, and the Ramban wrote a critique of the Rambam's work. So the Ramban felt that the Rambam had omitted this, V'chei Achicha Imach, as one of the 248 Mitzvos Asei. So, David, why don't you read it? Just read it very carefully, because there's a lot of controversy in terms of the outer boundaries of this particular Ramban. What exactly the Ramban is suggesting? Mitzvah Yidvav, the 16th of 248, the 16th omitted commandment, that again, there I think there are 17 total, that the Ramban feels that the Rambam improperly omitted, and then by definition 17 that he counted that he should not have counted. Go ahead, David. Hagal. So let's pause there. So the Ramban has dramatically expanded the scope of V'chei Achicha Imach. What examples does he give? Mitzvah l'hachayoso doesn't just mean that if you have an extra piece of nevela, you shouldn't try to sell it to him, you should give it to him. And okay, if there's no ger toshav available, feel free to sell it to a nachri who's not a ger toshav. But what? Exactly. Similar parameters, you guys all learned the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Dafai and Gimel, of Lo Samur al Dam Reyacha. Right? Shim Ra'isa Toveya Binahar. You see him drowning. That would imply that you'd even have to incur perhaps a certain amount of risk. Maybe you'd have to enter yourself into some kind of a sakana, you know, for purposes of, you know, saving him. You know, that's a big debate in the Rishonim. Even if it's a Jew, do you have to incur a certain amount of sakana? The Menchas Chinuch is very perplexed by the Shita of the Agos Maimonios exactly on that point. Oh, nafal alav hagal, he's not just drowning in a river, or, you know, boulders fell on him. Shebechol kochenu. Look at the language. Very impressive, Boaz. Shebechol kochenu, that we should do everything in our power. Nitrach batzalah. So certainly the Ramban is channeling that Gemara and Daf Ayin Gimel, right? Because that was the exact contrast that we had before, you know, in that Gemara between the mitzvah of Lo Samur al Dam Reyacha and the mitzvah there of Ashivo Solo, of Metrach Tarach or Agure Megar. So the Ramban is using that language, Shebechol Kochenu Nitrach Batzalaso. V'im Hayachola, Nisasek Brufuaso. And he says, V'kol Shekein Me'achinu Yisrael. Oh, Gert said that, and certainly if you're dealing with a natural member of the Jewish people, she'anu mechuyavin lo bechol eila, v'hu bahem pikuach nefesh shedoche Shabbos. And as far as those categories, it would even be at the expense of Shabbos. So there's a major debate in the Rishonim and Achronim whether the Ramban actually meant to say that for a Ger Toshav, we would be prepared to do what? To be mechalel Shabbos. So, seems to me that the simple reading is not, though there were great Rishonim who thought that was the case, the Tashbits thought that was the case, but it seems to me, just, you know, parenthetically, V'hu Bahem, I think this is a reference to the Ger Tzedek, as well as naturally born Jews, Pikuach Navish Docha Shabbos. V'hu Amaru Yisala, V'chiyamuch Achicha, U'matai Yido Imach, V'chazak Tebo, Ger V'toshav, V'cha Imach. U'mamaram B'talmud, Ger Atam Mitzuva Lav L'chayoso, Goy Renachri, Ein ata mitzuva alav lahachayoso. V'hamitzvah zo minah bal alachos. V'harav, meaning the Rambam, kolol osay matzadaka b'mitzvahs kavtzadiyei mipasak pasoach tiftach hasyadcha v'hem shtayim mitzvos be'emes. So the Ramban has an objection to the Rambam, who included this within the general parameters of the mitzvah of tzedakah. So for the Ramban, this is a standalone mitzvah, and it goes well beyond the scope of simply giving a piece of meat that we wouldn't be able to eat anyway, because it's non-kosher. It's nevela. So ger tosha v'ata mitzvah lachayoso means liraposo, to heal him, maybe even to, you know, endanger ourselves to a certain extent, to save him, tovea b'nahar. The language of the Ramban, shebechol kochenu nitrach v'atzalaso. Our obligations to the immigrant in our society, and I emphasize, the non-Jewish immigrant in our society is shebechol kochenu nitrach batzalaso. We should do everything in our power to make sure that the person is protected, and God forbid, if they find themselves in a desperate situation, that we have to be there to act on their behalf, very much in parallel to lo samod al damreyecha and vashevoso. Now, the Ramban, again, alluded to the fact that the Rambam did not cite these as independent mitzvos, so let us try to understand Shitas HaRambam and see whether, it, you know, if the fact that the Rambam didn't count it as a separate and distinct mitzvos asay of v'chai imach, but rather subsumed it under the general mitzvah of tzedakah, does this somehow reflect, you know, a different approach conceptually in the Rambam to the mitzvah, to our obligations of ger toshav? Again, there are many times in the Sefer HaMitzvos that the Rambam doesn't count something separately, but he still feels it's very much a din d'oraisa. A famous example that's on our mind this time of year is Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Everybody wants to know, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, obviously the Rambam does count, but the twice daily mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Mantiskor, as Yom Tzeis Chamei Mitzrayim, Kol Yimei Chayecha Ayamim, Kol Yimei Chayecha Zalelos, right, the Drasha Ben Zoma, Rabbi Lezer Ben Azariah, Harenei Kiven Shivim Shana. The Rambam doesn't count that as a separate one of the 248 mitzvahs asay. It's really for him part of Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim to believe that not just God created the world, but God controls history. So very often, just because the Rambam didn't count something as a separate mitzvah d'oraisa, as one of the 248, as the Ramban is pointing out, doesn't mean A, that the Rambam attaches less significance to it, but the Rambam saw it as part of a broader rubric. And I think we'll find that that is very much the case here. So Gavi, why don't you take a look at the 11th source. This is the Rambam's presentation, the mitzvah say of tzedakah in general. Bear in mind that the Rambam's general position is chayavin anu lizar b'mitzvah saseh shel tzedakah yosher mikol mitzvah saseh shel b'torah, that we have to be more zahir, more careful and cautious regarding the mitzvah tzedakah than the other 247 mitzvah saseh, which is a very powerful statement, especially in light of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that teaches us have zahir b'mitzvah kala kiva chamura. Now, generally speaking, we don't draw those kinds of distinctions. So let's see, Gavi, the Rambam, both in the Sefer HaMitzvos as well as the Mishnah Torah, and try to see if the fact that the Rambam didn't count our obligations to the ger toshav, to the non-Jewish immigrant, to our society, the fact that he didn't count it as an independent mitzvah, is that somehow reflective of the fact that he downgraded that concept relative to the Ramban, or is that reflective of a different orientation? Okay, go ahead, Gavi.
Yeah.
So the mitzvah of tzedakah is to strengthen those who are weak and downtrodden. The Torah speaks about it in many ways. Amar Yisale. Right, that you have to open your hand in the monetary sense. So there he cites the pasuk clearly about the ger toshav. Right, according to the Sifra, it's the ger tzedek, and the toshav is the ger toshav. V'amar. Exactly where we started, that's the very next pasuk. V'akavana be'elu halashonos kulam achas. Ani yenu. So it's amazing. The Rambam refers to all those included in those psukim of pasoach tiftach as yadcha v'chei achi chayimach, but perhaps most impressively, ger v'toshav v'chayimach, he calls them ani yenu, our indigent ones, our poor people. So, David, what would emerge from that? That the Rambam relates.
That he relates like a ger toshav with poor people.
With our poor.
Yeah.
With Aniyah Yisrael. So ironically, maybe the very fact, this is just a suggestion, a conjecture. Why might you say the Rambam didn't want to count V'chai Imach separately? Again, for the Ramban, we had a big question. What about Pikuach Nefesh, Docha Shabbos, Le'in and Ger Toshav? But what the Rambam, what might the Rambam be saying?
That they're all kind of the same category?
Yeah, he incorporates and synthesizes V'chai Imach, expected to Ger Toshav, to be no different, in this case, than V'chai Achicha Imach. That's astonishing. Achicha would mean a member of Klal Yisrael. Right? So let's take a look, see if we can confirm this in the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam Hilchos Matanos Aniyim, Perek Zayin. Go ahead, David. Again, you know, depending on how much you have, the limited resources issue. Perfect confirmation. The same set of three psukim. And he uses the term aniyim, not specifically aniyei Yisrael. Right? So if we could just maybe have a makib epatish to hammer this point home, we take a look at a very famous passage in the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, where the Rambam, again, deals with the ger tosha. V'chein yirali. Yirali in the Rambam is always a term that indicates some degree of tentativeness on his part. Yirali means I can't be entirely certain of this, just like we couldn't be entirely certain of the Ramban's perspective about Pikuach Nefesh Docha Shabbos Le'in and Ger Toshav. So I can't be entirely certain, but Yirali, it would seem to me, go ahead, David. Wow. That the Ger Toshav, in terms of all in Yonim of Derech Eretz and Gemilas Chasadim, Yirali, that we treat him fully as a... So that might validate which diuk that we had before. That's a Ramban issue, but a diuk within the Rambam. Aniyenu, no different than our aniyim, and maybe just maybe in the broader sense, it not only explains that one word, but what might it explain in the broader sense for the Rambam? If he thought, okay, Shemi, go ahead.
Why he didn't make a separate mitzvah? Oh. That it was the exact same thing.
Exactly. He was a little tentative about it, but Noah gedim geri toshav v'derech eretz u'gemilas chasadim ki Yisrael. So that it really shouldn't be a separate and distinct mitzvah, but it actually should be built in. Our attitude towards the non-Jewish immigrant should be fundamentally no different than our attitude towards our brother. Shaharei, he explains... So that's amazing. So we move to a Gemara in Pesachim that just says, okay, that's a din in Nevela, which you can't eat anyway, right? And now the Rambam says, but that establishes, you know, the Ramban talked about, you know, Lo Samod, and in that context, and Vashivo Solo, and, you know, Nitrach B'chol Kochenu, which is all very impressive. But ironically, the Rambam might even be more expansive. B'derech Eretz U'gemilos Chasadim. You know, in not just in, you know, when the person's life is on the line, you know, maybe even then, right? But in all matters of gemilas chasadim, that they should be treated ki Yisrael. V'zeh shamru chachamim mein kofim lehen shalom, that we shouldn't give excessive greetings. That's only talking about pagans. Ovdei kochavim masalos lo beger toshav. And then the Rambam concludes, and we'll get to the Rambam's conclusion in just a moment, with, you know, this general sense of, you know, rachamim, and concern for all of God's creatures really extends beyond the ger toshav. Afilo ovdei kochavim mazalos, where we do have student restrictions, sivu chachamim, it's not required midoraisa. Midoraisa would be required for the ger toshav, yirali, based on v'chei imach, mitzuvim lachayoso. But sivu chachamim, the rabbi said, there it was appropriate too, levakir choleim, even if they were outright pagan, to visit their sick, v'likbor meseihem, you may say Yisrael, not in the same cemetery, obviously, u'lefarnes aniyehem bichlal aniyeh Yisrael, but again, here he's saying aniyehem, by the ger toshav, he said aniyenu, right? Mibnei darche shalom, there it's a matter of keeping peace, so that people don't seek vengeance on the Jewish people. You know, for the Rambam, it's not just a matter of vengeance, Hare nemar tova shem lakol v'racham aval kol ma'asav nemar derecha derechei noam v'chol nesivo sa'a shalom. That basically, if God has compassion to everybody, v'alach b'drachav, we should have compassion to everybody, and the ways of the Torah are, you know, ways that are pleasant altogether. For the Rambam, that pasuk, derecha derechei noam v'chol nesivo sa'a shalom, has special meaning. To Ezra in just one second, the Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah very famously says, kol ha'Torah kula nisna laso shalom ba'olam, that all of the Torah was given for purposes of establishing shalom, you know, in the world, and he quotes there that pasuk, derechan derechei noam, v'chol nesivo sa'a shalom. So perhaps ironically, right, you might think that the Ramban gave greater weight to the way that we treat the non-Jewish immigrants in society because he had a special mitzvah for it. But ironically, the very fact that the Rambam didn't have a separate mitzvah, but integrated, you know, this into the perspective, the overall perspective of tzedakah and gemilos chasadim, and even referred to the ger toshav as v'chei imach, as part of aniyenu, as opposed to ovdei kochavim mazalos, that it might even be a greater expression of the halachic mandate, ger toshav, ata mitzuve lachayoso, well beyond the nevela, but b'chol inyane, yirali, as the Rambam says, b'chol inyane derech eretz, u'gmilos chasadim, to make no distinctions, you know, whatsoever. In terms of pikuach nefesh tocha Shabbos, that already is the suffix that we raised in terms of the Ramban. A little bit of ambiguity there, but Ezra, go ahead.
Is the Ramban spoke only reaching gmilos chasadim due to hasar tiftach hasarach, or is it, does that do, meaning, does that do with,
that's a great question in terms of Losa Say. By the way, I don't think it's based on Pasuach Tiftach. I think it's because the Rambam quotes that other pasuk of V'chei Imach, because Pasuach Tiftach, the pasuk specifically says La'achicha La'niyacha. So, but I totally understand your question. It's a very important question. Is that included under the rubric of Derech Eretz? And I think there's certainly a case to be made. Right, Derech Eretz and Gemilos Chasadim. Yeah. Right, so Derech Eretz, I think it's a very good question. So what would be included in Derech Eretz that's not already included in Gemilos Chasadim? I obviously can't say for sure, but I'm totally sympathetic to your, you know, to your line of reasoning. We'll take one more question. I just wanted to make sure we saved some time to reflect and to conclude together. Yeah, Eitan.
So if they're saying
I would think the latter, right? That's the Rambam. He's tentative about it. That's his yearly, but I would think the latter because, you know, there's a general principle in tzedakah, hatoev, toev kodim, right? The one who's more desperate than anything to eat is treated in a different category than somebody has what to eat, you know, but de machsaro asher yechsarlo, but is still missing things that either he once had or are, you know, necessary, but not in as vital a sense. So that's the Rambam's Yirali. He says it with some degree of tentativeness. So again, just to summarize and distill what we said, started with a general methodological point that all of you guys should be sensitive to. That, you know, when you look at the Torah, you're trying to look, and public policy, you're trying to look for general values. In terms of how things are going to translate on the ground, that's already a very different kind of an issue, and it has to do with, you know, local precedents and pragmatic considerations that are well beyond, you know, the scope of the Torah itself. You look to the Torah for the kind of, you know, value. So in general, the Torah said that we, as Torah Jews, just like we have to love Shabbat, we have to, you know, be Shomer Shabbos and love Israel, you know, and all of the, you know, broader Bein Adam L'Makom. So the Torah says that we need to be very sensitive to people who have an experience of suffering because we have suffered. We suffered in Egypt and we suffered, as the Haggadah says, B'chol Dor V'Dor, Omdim Aleinu L'Chaloseinu. So our general orientation to groups in society that are suffering should be, of course, an orientation of Rachmanos and Gemilos Chasadim. Me'idach, we also have to take into account V'chei Achicha Imach, Chayecha Kod Min L'Chayi Chavercha. It was the same Rabbi Kiva who said, V'haftal L'Reacha Kamocha is Kal Gadol B'Torah. Same Rabbi Kiva said, you know, chayecha kod min l'chayei chavercha, situation of limited resources, we always have to keep that in mind, right? You're not allowed to, lo ya b'cha evyon, you know, you're not allowed to impoverish yourself, whether it's a mitzvah ben adon l'makom or just a general, you know, orientation in life, is that we do have to, v'nishmartem l'nafsha seichem, we have to first take care of ourselves so that we will be better able to take care of other people. So those are values that have to be kept in mind, and that's a big part of the contemporary debate. Now, within that framework, we spoke a little bit about different kinds of halachic models. A ger tzedek becomes a natural, becomes a member of the Jewish people, just like a naturally born Jew is entitled to all of the protections that a naturally born Jew would be entitled to, and more. The ger toshav provides a very fascinating model of, you know, the non-Jewish immigrant to our society, the minority member, and harianu mitzuvim lachayoso. Now, again, a very narrow reading of the Gemara in Masechta Pesach means, okay, an avela that you wouldn't be allowed to eat anyway, so you have a responsibility to give it to him. Even Rabbi Meir will concede, give it to him before you sell it to the Nachri. Rabbi Yehuda will say, well, that's completely obvious because, you know, the Pasuk says, v'chayimach, so of course you have an obligation to do that. Rabbi Yehuda will say it establishes an iser mechira. You're not allowed to sell it to the ger toshav. But we saw that both the Ramban and the Rambam thought that it went well beyond that. The Ramban talked about, you know, saving his life in terms of refua sachola, in terms of tovea benahar, in terms of nafal alav hagal, right? The Ramban spoke about it as something that was omitted from the Rambam's mitzvah saseh of v'chai imach, very powerful, b'chol kolchenu, to do whatever we can to save this person, and the ambiguity surrounding the very, very fact that there could be ambiguity surrounding Chilul Shabbos is already a very powerful statement. And, you know, the fact that the Rambam didn't count it, ultimately we concluded, not because it was any less important, but maybe ironically, because he saw it as intrinsic to the mitzvah of tzedakah. That was his, you know, implication in the Sefer Mitzvos of Bichlal Aniyenu, as opposed to Aniyehem. He quotes V'chai Achicha Imach right next to V'chai Imach and Besoach Tivtach. And finally, he says it explicitly in Hilchos Malachim, the Yir Ali, that Bechol and Yonei Derech Eretz, Gemilos Chasadim, obviously, you know, Ezra raised a very important question. Satan, what exactly is the full scope of Derech Eretz and Gemilos Chasadim? That surely remains to be defined, but that basically they should be treated Ki Yisrael, you know, L'chol Divrehem, that indeed is a very important perspective. So, relate to the immigrant in society, right? Certainly we don't want to use terms like the other, but on the contrary, v'chayimach, bichlal, aniyenu, that there's a deep Torah level of responsibility, whether it's a separate mitzvah saseh for the Ramban, whether it's integrated into the general mitzvah saseh of tzedakah of the Rambam, right? Chayavin anu lizar, b'mitzvah saseh shel tzedakah yotzer mikol mitzvah saseh shel b'Torah. So we have a special responsibility to care for the immigrant in society, to be concerned for their welfare, and never again to look at superficial things like country of origin or their cultural differences, and certainly not, God forbid, things like the color of their skin or accents. But the Torah, Kigerim Hayisem Be'eretz Yitzrayim, taught us that our own experience of marginalization and historical suffering had to mean, it absolutely had to mean, a special sensitivity. Harei Anu Mitzuvin Le'Hachayoso. Conclude there.